You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
50 years of sustained and fruitful ecumenical dialogue between Catholics and Lutherans have helped us to overcome many differences.
Wake up, Martin Luther. Welcome to the future.
A mighty fortress is our God. That's a marching down the aisle with the banners flying hymn.
Missouri Synod pastors who are fans of the World Champion Chicago Cubs love listening to Issues Etc.
It does involve a few acronyms. IVP, that would be InterVarsity Fellowship, and SBL, that is the Society of Biblical Literature. They are clashing over an issue of human sexuality. Now, what has InterVarsity Press done that has caught the attention of the Society of Biblical Literature? And what does it mean that the Society of Biblical Literature wants to temporarily ban this organization from their annual convention? We're going to be answering that question here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of October. Dr. Robert Gagnon of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Mark Serberg joins us. He's written a recent column titled A Myth of Contemporary Worship, answering the question, is contemporary worship more accessible than the historic liturgy? Then Pastor Larry Peters joins us to talk about the liturgical revival, which is really an event of the mid-20th century, early and mid-20th century. What does it look like today? He's authored a recent article titled The Liturgical Movement at a Crossroads. Terry Mattingly will round off today's 2 hours of Issues Etc. We'll talk about media coverage of a Southern Baptist retailer's decision not to sell Amy Grant's new Christmas album. Not Christian enough, they say. That's in the last 15 minutes of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Dr. Robert Gagnon is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about a proposal to temporarily ban InterVarsity Fellowship from the annual convention of the Society of Biblical Literature over the issue of human sexuality. He's associate professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics. Dr. Gagnon, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
What has InterVarsity Fellowship done? What have they done to catch the attention of this scholarly Society of Biblical Literature?
Well, InterVarsity Fellowship has recently conducted a report, theological report on sexuality issues, and they've now asked their staff workers if they cannot conform to the Orthodox vision of human sexuality, which includes not accepting gay marriage, then that they should, in a sense, out themselves voluntarily, come forward and state that they cannot any longer abide by the position of InterVarsity Fellowship on that issue. Although there seems to be some openness to the question of civil partnerships, same-sex civil partnerships, which is somewhat alarming, but I guess they're holding the line on the gay marriage issue.
So just to put a fine point on it, they are not changing their position on homosexuality. They're, in, for lack of a better word, they're simply trying to hold their membership to that position.
That's correct.
So what is it, the Society of Biblical Literature, and why do they take issue with this?
Well, that they feel that this policy by InterVarsity Fellowship impinges on InterVarsity Press, which is the related book publishing arm, and therefore it shows a lack of critical thought and diversity in their understanding, and therefore they have threatened to ban InterVarsity Press from the bookstalls in the Society of Biblical Literature, American Academy of Religion Joint Meetings.
If they were being consistent, would they be doing the same with other Christian publishers?
Well, they're certainly not being consistent here. There are lots of presses for whom it would be virtually, if not totally, impossible to publish on an orthodox view of sexuality with regard to so-called GLBT issues. They've just never published anything on the other side. And I've experienced in the past some opposition there. So they're really only concerned about a particular one-sided dimension of the issue.
Is it too simple to say, Dr. Gagnon, that in the minds of an organization like SBL, the only credible scholarly position is going to be to favor LGBT ideas and rights?
That's certainly where the leadership would like to be. I mean, they'll emphasize the usual buzzwords like tolerance and diversity, and argue that the position that we hold is not consistent with that. They're treading a little bit carefully because a very large percentage, I'm not sure what the exact numbers, but it's certainly a significant percentage of Society of Biblical Literature members would be professors who accept the historic Christian view of a male-female requirement for sexual ethics, and so would alienate a very large block of Society of Biblical Literature as a whole, but we're in the minority.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, all that the Society of Biblical Literature is trying to do is to safeguard academic freedom? If you don't allow for the viewpoints in favor of LGBT rights and ideas, you are squashing that academic freedom.
Well, if that's true, they'll have to eliminate just about everybody on their side because, again, they don't have a whole lot of academic freedom with regard to some orthodox positions. And so this is really, what they're arguing for is really bottom line censorship. Now, there are lots of different presses that have their own particular interests. Very unlikely a Jewish press is going to publish a book critical of Judaism or arguing that all Jews should accept the Messiah Jesus. Not going to happen. A Catholic press, in most cases, is not going to endorse works that centrally threaten their self-identity as Catholics, quite rightly. So, this is not something germane only to evangelicals. And as I said, with many presses, one press, for example, in fact, it was the Lutheran ELCA Press. At one time when I submitted my first book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Text and Hermeneutics, to them. They were actually the first denominational press that I submitted the book to. And I was told that they couldn't accept it because the number one problem in the church today is societal homophobia. Now, they subsequently accepted a Two Views book that I did with somebody else 2 years later because there was somebody in there who was responsible for publication for biblical studies books or academic books generally, and he was favorable to my view, but he was subsequently fired after he had me do this joint Two Views book. So they're not a very receptive press, the Fortress Press, for our particular views, and nobody's singling them out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how this has been covered in the press. I've read, a Time magazine piece that made it sound like what the InterVarsity Fellowship was doing was just positively draconian. How do you respond?
Well, it's hardly, that is their viewpoint, Time's viewpoint, which is skewed itself, but it's hardly draconian to ask members to adopt Jesus' view of human sexual ethics, that there is a foundation, a male-female foundation, deliberately designed by God in creation, and on the basis of that foundation, there are certain other rules, sexual principles that are extrapolated, like limiting the number of partners in a sexual union to two, because there are two primary sexes designed by God for mutual sexual pairing. So you'd sort of want Christian workers to actually abide by the teaching of Jesus on this score, and this is hardly exceptional. I would actually say, with regard to InterVarsity Press, they are quite open to our other viewpoints. In fact, in my opinion, too open. For example, they published a work by Andrew Marin, Love is an Orientation, and a book by Janelle Paris, both books of which were tend to be very positive in some dimensions to affirming same-sex relationships, or at least not addressing them in the church. The book by Paris is the end, so-called End of Sexual Orientation. So they've actually been open to views which I think have been very problematic, and there's somewhat of a difference between the press and the fellowship, InterVarsity Fellowship and InterVarsity Press. So, you know, to some extent they've opened up their own can of worms, and it's created a little bit of a problem for them.
What do you think the end result of Society of Biblical Literature threatening to ban IVP from their annual convention, what do you think the end result will be?
Well, if they're able to get away with it, then the end result would be a whole onslaught of censorship with regard to orthodox biblical views or presses that pay attention to such views in particular. And that means, in general, too, how we all behave. There was also an email sent out to all of us that we all subscribe to the basic principles, how we're ought to behave there. Some of it seemed to suggest to a number of us that our particular views about orthodox sexual ethics were not welcome because it was not sufficiently tolerant from their standpoint. The problem with tolerance when it becomes a supreme virtue is it becomes supremely intolerant. And people who end up disagreeing with your view of what tolerance is, their view of what tolerance is, end up being completely excluded. So the end result is you exclude the vast majority of the church worldwide.
Talk about the contribution that scholars like yourself, other member scholars of the Society of Biblical Literature, have made and potentially can continue to make on the issue of human sexuality when they're seriously studying the biblical texts.
Right. I mean, we're actually challenging the monolithic viewpoint that most at the Society of Biblical Literature want to have. We, you know, we are the diversity. Most of the Society of Biblical Literature professors are not really diverse from that standpoint. They're fairly monolithic in their liberal, so-called liberal perspective on things. So it's somewhat ironic that they would try to get rid of us. You know, another additional irony is even some scholars who've done the most extensive work on studying issues of sexuality and homosexuality in Scripture in its historical context, even they have come to the conclusion, many of them, that there's nothing in the Bible that's serviceable to approving homosexual unions. So they just simply end up saying, we disagree with Jesus. But it sort of validates the point of view that some of others of us, like myself, have put forward, which is namely that the biblical record is very much opposed to any accommodation to same-sex unions.
Is this, in your mind, because you have been following not only this, but the issues of human sexuality and the changing mores in society, and now here in academia for a long time, does this appear to be a tipping point of sorts?
Well, it's a sort of a full court press on these series of issues. Now, many seminaries now, not just secular universities, and private, both public and private, but also secular, also seminaries, are now required to do harassment training, where noted in the harassment training by a group called Workplace Answers or Workplace Solutions, state that if your workers at a particular seminary or any institution of higher learning, and you happen to be talking about gay marriage, and somebody overhears you and they're offended because they don't agree with your point of view, they are to report to you for harassment, even though you're not talking to that person, even though that person is not part of the conversation but just happens to overhear. That now constitutes harassment. So a position that even Obama allegedly and Clinton allegedly did not hold 5 years ago, or did hold 5 years ago, namely they didn't claim they didn't support gay marriage, if you now talk about it in the workplace at a seminary, you can be charged with harassment. It's really ridiculous at this point. So we're getting a closure of freedom of speech, closure of freedom of academic freedom of thought. It's becoming very alarming.
One other question here, Dr. Gagnon. Someone might say, look, certainly there's an evangelical or a more conservative alternative to the Society of Biblical Literature. Why don't you guys all go there? What's your response?
Well, if you want to be called the Society of Biblical Literature, you have to pay attention to those with a more evangelical viewpoint who represent a major percentage, a significant percentage of the total whole of professors in biblical literature throughout the country. And to simply dismiss us and say we don't have to hear what you have to say shows a lack of judgment, discernment, and a real sense of tolerance and diversity.
Do you expect for this to take, you said Full Court Press, do you expect for this to take a step further, and that is rather than simply targeting an organization like InterVarsity Fellowship, to actually start putting pressure on attendees and members of the SBL?
Oh, certainly, to conform, to sort of sign off to the fact that we would support the whole GLBT agenda. Sure, that's down the line. At this point now, they've pushed, because of the pushback against them, they're now going to have set up a task force to further flesh out what academic freedom means in the context of Society of Biblical Literature. They're going to have a discussion about this issue with about InterVarsity at the meeting coming up in a couple of weeks, to which a lot of people are, everyone is invited who's a member. So we'll see what's going to happen out of all this. It may be that they'll harden their position, and in which case there'll have to be further pushback by members who don't agree with that position. And if that fails, then anything could happen.
Dr. Robert Gagnon is Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics. You'll find a link to his website under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Gagnon, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk with Pastor Mark Serberg. He's recently written a column titled, A Myth of Contemporary Worship, answering the question, is contemporary worship more accessible than the historic liturgy? Then after that, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Larry Peters talking about the liturgical revival today, and Terry Mattingly discussing media coverage of a Southern Baptist retailer's decision not to sell Amy Grant's new Christmas album.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.